Welcome, everybody, to Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Carolyn is amazing. She's a doctor, she's a naturopath, she's an herbalist, she's an acupuncturist. She's going to tell you exactly what she would do if she were in your shoes. I can't think of a person who has devoted more time to helping people's health than Dr. Carolyn Dean. She can make a huge difference as you listen to her words of wisdom. We know she's ahead of time because she is the doctor of the future. Welcome, Dr. Carolyn Dean.
So what's our...
Hey, Carolyn!
To Dr. Carolyn Dean.
We're doing it again. Oh, no.
Oh, we stopped. That's our producer, Rachel, being silly. Welcome, everybody. It's Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean. And as you can see, we're here in our vibrant and vivacious manner, ready to talk to Dr. Carolyn Dean about all things natural health, natural strategies, and everything that pertains to your vitality and your well-being. Her 50 years of experience are going to guide you in the most fantastic information and health journey that you've been on for a long time. I know that's been true about me. I've been working with her for years. And I've learned so much. So welcome, Carolyn. What are we doing tonight?
Well, we have our usual lineup to start with. We introduce ourselves. We have the children say yay.
Yeah.
And then we talk about our library. So we're still on about death by modern medicine. And the reason we are, it's kind of the groundwork for, I think, what got the MAHA people going, the Making America Healthy Again people. And we like to say, I've been doing this for 50 years. I went into medicine knowing about natural medicine, knowing about lifestyle and diet, and I wanted to bring that into my medical practice, even though I was totally rejected. I mean, I would get laughed at for bringing my homemade yogurt to my med school classes. And the only thing that stopped the ridicule was when the dean of students, Dean Nicholson, we got along really well, he conducted a class one day and he said, Hey, Carolyn, can I have your yogurt recipe? Everybody calmed down. So yeah, it's been a battle, but, we've seen it coming, death by modern medicine. It's, on Amazon now, people can download it. And what we've done for our blogs is gone to, outlining the various chapters of death by modern medicine. So unless there's something else to say before that, I can go over the blog a bit, Ginny. Or do you have something to say about death by modern medicine?
Well, what we have to say is welcome to our new Twitter audience, which is also called X. Right? So welcome everybody to our new audience here on X. We are streaming live this evening on X and on YouTube, which I think, Carolyn, makes us multidimensional.
Of course we are. I mean, this 2D, forget about it. I mean,
forget about it already.
Yeah.
I love that Carolyn wore her feathers, her fantastic New Year's Eve gala outfit for our premiere on X. But we really are thrilled because, speaking of Make America Healthy Again, this is where MAHA hangs out. This is where MAHA got together and really formed a very strong community and alliance that pushed, I think, RFK Jr. over the finish line with Donald Trump into the arms of being the secretary that he is now of HHS. Mm-hmm. And really forged an alliance between the MAHA and the MAGA people, which I experienced as I was watching this unfold on X. And to see all the Maha people very skeptical of the MAGA people. And then to ask the MAGA people to join their fight, and watching people learn about seed oils and regenerative farming and all the things, you know, health strategies and different things like that, the much more broad ultra processed foods was really, really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, it is important. And I guess we're highlighting Death by Modern Medicine because I wrote it 20 years ago. 2005 was when it was published. And I just recently updated it. I updated it through the years, but it gives you the groundwork for how bad it is. Not enough people realize and kind of, you know, are blinded and they don't want to hear, see, or feel what's going on. But yeah, you have to know this stuff. But you have to know it in the context there's something you can do about it. And that's our ultimate goal is, you know, we've got your back, we got your forehead, we've got the things that can help you be healthy.
Yes. And I think too, there's a QR code here at the top featuring the health freedom journey that you've been on, Carolyn. And health freedom is so important now, and it continues to grow in the hearts and minds of people. Now, this came to you many, many years ago, and you've been involved with different organizations. And one thing I was thinking, Carolyn, is that in 2014, you received the Sacred Fire of Liberty Award from Jonathan E. Mord in Washington, D.C., which was an incredible event. Do you remember how cool that was, looking back on it?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But for all the, for all the energy and the power and the people behind it, when I would go to the natural medicine conferences about sugar or seed oils or autism or Alzheimer's, you name it, there would only be a few hundred people in the audience.
Mm, yeah.
It was really sad. But when I would look at medical conferences, there'd be thousands of people.
Right.
And I thought, how can we ever match that? You know, they were so commercial and so drug oriented and drug funded. We just didn't have the money as a group. So I think that's why I went out on my own in a sense. And I just created my own Maha movement.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did. You've been very successful with your Maha movement. And I think too, every week we talk a little bit about the alliance between your work, which has been so well founded, and also the different talking points in the Maha agenda. And I think there's one we want to talk about this week, because I want new people who've not experienced you before to understand how really plugged in you are to what's going on, and also the recommendations that you have. Rachel, which one is that? Do you have that slide? I'm talking to our producer, Rachel. Okay, we'll get to it. So anyway, I think that's the thing, is to know that there have been people at this for a long time. And maybe that building of the momentum, like you talk about, there's only 500 people in the room, but now there's 380 million or 330 or however many people living in this country who know what the heck's going on. And they may not want to necessarily dive into it as deep as you have, but they certainly are being exposed to a lot more information than they ever have been before.
Yes. And they can be attached to the benefits. You know, we've done the work and we're giving the benefits. Now, about the blog, before we go to the Maha, we're on Maha agenda number 8, but the blog is at drcarolyndean.com, and you can read it, you can send it around. And I go through 3 chapters. It's a 15 chapter book. So we're doing 3 chapters a week. And the first chapter, it's chapter 4 in the book, but it's Death by Media. And seriously, 20 years ago, I was talking about this, and look how everyone's addicted to their Black Mirror. And chapter 5 is Death by Propaganda. And what's happening these days. It's all propaganda, mis and disinformation. And what's neat about this, Ginny, and I know you've read the book, but it was Edward Bernays, who was the nephew of Sigmund Freud, who was the master of propaganda in America. And he was the one that in the 20s launched the campaign for the American Tobacco Company with the directive to make Lucky Strikes the most smoked cigarette in America by opening up a whole new market of prospective smokers, women. And the campaign was reach for a Lucky instead of a sweet. So he got women addicted to tobacco. And then last week we talked about how when the tobacco industry got brought down to their knees a little bit, they pivoted to buying out the giant food corporations and made junk food, processed food, and made them addictive. So we're suffering under those effects right now. Chapter 6, Death by Modern Drugs and Procedures. Back then in 2005, I did the laborious statistics of finding out what people were dying of in the allopathic medical realm. It's called iatrogenic medicine. You know, who was dying of just taking prescription pills, and who's dying in hospitals, who had the wrong surgery, the misdiagnosis, the bed sores that were killing people, the blood clots. When doctors go on strike, less people die because they don't do procedures that can lead to death. So I found, I think it was 750,000 annual deaths just by adding up the databases that I got from the government. And in 2017, I think I updated it, and it hadn't got better, it had gotten worse. I got over 1 million deaths caused by medicine. These days we talk about the fentanyl deaths, there's 108,000. Well, back in, I think it was 1992, there was a study that showed that the adverse drug deaths was about 108,000. And there was no uproar about that. Well, there's not enough uproar about fentanyl deaths either. But it's been covered up for a long time, the problems with medicine. And the MAHA agenda, I'm not looking at the slides, Ginny, but are we at number 8, education on the dangers of overmedication and pharmaceutical dependency?
Correct.
Yep. So that's the last chapter I just mentioned, all the problems with over-medication and pharmaceutical dependency. You know, MAHA wants to address this. We want to see it gone. We want to see it diminished, but I'm saying good luck. I keep bursting the bubble, critiquing what MAHA wants to do, because I've been at this for so many decades, and I don't see any shifting, because drugs make the market. And as I said, in Death by Modern Medicine, I have those statistics. And in there, I wrote about an investigative journalist friend of mine, Helka Ferry. She got a pass into a pharmaceutical conference back in the early 90s. And mostly it was industry people with a few journalists and a few doctors, and they were griping about how patients were becoming more leery of the drugs, and their plan was to focus more on injectable drugs, the jabs that we know about, and now the new biologic drugs. And these biologics, you think about the weight loss biologic, in a sense, $1,000 a week. I mean, they are making so much money. And we have to protest that these injectable weight loss drugs are not going to be covered by Medicare and Medicaid, because it will bankrupt the country. So with the drug situation, kids grow up on drugs. When I was in Manhattan doing the AIDS and chronic fatigue studies, I had a chronic fatigue teacher who was doing an after school program. She had 12 or 13 kids in a Upper East Side school. And she said, all of them were on Ritalin, all of them. So these kids grew up on Ritalin, then they get into their teens, they, you know, they go through the teen angst, and then they go on Prozac or antidepressants. And as they get older, then they go on the weight loss drugs. They'll go on medications at the drop of a hat. And, you know, they may question going on a vitamin or a mineral, but they don't question going on drugs. They have been propagandized. And then there's polypharmacy. How many drugs are people taking? I found some CDC information from 2017 to 2020. Using at least one prescription drug, 49.9%. So 50% of the population is on at least one drug. Three or more drugs, 25%. Five or more prescription drugs, 13%. So we are a drug-based society. And I guess the final thought is, when I did my month-long rotation during my internship in a geriatric hospital up in Toronto, I was shocked to see how many drugs the patients were on. And even worse, you know, an order would be written on the chart and never rescinded. The drug just kept going on and on and on. Yeah. These people were just, they were just loaded with drugs. So this was before computers, if you can imagine. So I get a spreadsheet and put down all the patients, all the drugs they were on, the dates they were started. And I'd have discontinued, and the discontinued line was empty. I turned it in at the end of my rotation. I don't know what happened, but I hope I woke some people up.
So it was crazy when Greg's father was alive and he was in Canada. They would send him down to visit us with blister packs full of drugs. Blister packs, 8.5 by 11 sheets of drugs for him to take. It was just horrible. Now, Carolyn, I want to talk to you because if people are just understanding you for the first time and you say you don't have a lot of hope for the MAHA agenda, then what are we doing exactly? Because you do have a lot of hope because you're sitting here. We've been at this for a long time and you're still going strong. So what is your hope?
Well, it's for the individual. It's that the individual can learn, can focus. We have health and natural health protocols. We have dietary supplements. I mean, that's my whole focus. I never thought for a million years I would be a dietary supplement salesperson. I mean, I had no clue about that. But back in 2008, when I was just putting out a health educational newsletter, I had people in 2008, when there was the crash, economic crash, people said, I can't even take time to read what you're saying. Tell me what to take.
Right.
Give me something to take. And this is after I'd been in New York doing the AIDS and chronic fatigue study using Chinese herbs, homeopathic acupuncture injectables, and just having great results until Fauci came along and told everybody to take AZT. And the people in our study who went over to AZT, they all died. So eyes wide open about all this stuff. And I realized the importance of dietary supplements. Again, I never thought I'd get into it. But then 2008, people said, what can I take? And I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll see if I can make some dietary supplements. Maybe I'll look at the herbs I used in the chronic fatigue study. Come to find out, there's herbs can come in to a manufacturer from all over the world. And if they're contaminated or infected or whatever, they can be cleaned and then they can be encapsulated. They can be sent off to a lab and pass all the standard tests. But they've been gassed, they've been radiated, they've been high temperatured. So as far as I could could see there was no more life force in these herbs.
Yeah, very good.
So, you know, there's that story. And then again, as you say, if we've got a newer audience, my story was that I was severely magnesium deficient. I didn't know it until I started doing research for a book, The Magnesium Miracle, that Random House asked me to write. And I ran out and got some magnesium and immediately got the laxative effect. And I realized, I guess, my life's work was to educate about magnesium and find a magnesium dietary supplement that was not laxative, because I needed it. And that's what I did. And so we've got this groundbreaking magnesium that people can take, you know, whether they're on drugs or whatever condition they have, because we're supposed to get magnesium and our nutrients from our food and water. And we are no longer doing that. The soil has been farmed out of its minerals and they're not being replaced properly. Our water is all filtered, so it doesn't have any more minerals. So we're in a desperate situation as a community, and the government is not going to take care of any of those things. I mean, I think it was in 1933, there was a Senate committee about soil, the health of the soil and the nutrient quality of the soil. And people were saying there's none there. You know, we're all dying because we don't have the nutrients from the soil that we think we should have. And we should, but we don't. 200 years ago, the U.S. Department of Agriculture said there was 500 milligrams of magnesium in an ordinary daily diet. Now we're lucky to have 200. So we're desperate for nutrients. And I say especially magnesium, because magnesium is necessary to activate 80% of known metabolic functions in the body. 80%. So anyway, long roundabout way to say what, Jenny? What have I said?
Well, you've said the truth of your story for the last 15 or 20 years, that you've been passionate. Yeah. And also meeting the needs of the consumer, going to the individual. And who knows, you might be pleasantly surprised about what happens with MAHA, because now there is a grounds. There aren't just 300 people sitting in the audience anymore. We've got people who are awake and aware. And now it's going to get down to what kind of choices people are going to make, because at the end of the day, that will also factor in, like you've said, are they going to choose the biologics and the Ozempics and these kinds of things, or are they going to choose from their knowledge as we continue to educate, that they have options and opportunities to treat their body well and to expect that their body is going to be healed, even of something as severe as chronic obesity or diabetes or something of that nature. Because we know it's possible, because we've seen it happen over and over again in our own customer base. Would you agree with that, Carolyn?
Yes, I would. And, you know, it's frustrating. As you were saying this, I was thinking of all the smart people I listen to, you know, podcasts and whatnot, and they really haven't had a health education. I was just listening to, I think it was Scott Adams this morning, and he thinks he has pneumonia, and he has sciatica, and he has asthma. And he's brilliant. You know, he's a curmudgeon a lot of the times, and he loves his coffee. And he tells people don't eat sugar, I think bread, and I don't know about dairy, but he's learning about his diet. But he's going to the doctor later today, and what are they going to do for? Oh, here's an antibiotic for your pneumonia. Here's an inhaler, a stronger inhaler for your asthma. Oh, you'll need some strong painkillers for your sciatica. And it's just so sad to me that these brilliant people, when they get ill, they have no natural person to turn to. Right. And the dietary supplement industry has become so commercialized that people think snake oil.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, they don't know who to turn to. And of course, you know, Jenny would say, well, come to us. And I would say the same, because I've been at this for 50 years.
Yeah.
And I know that when you take a dietary supplement, you should feel better for taking it.
And immediately.
Yeah. So just to be taking it for the marketing information, to just take it for the words that they say, or to take it because on these big doctor websites, they'll have 100 different supplements and you think, oh my gosh, do I have to take them all? But, you know, we've worked through all that so that we know that people just need the basic nutrients as the common ground to keep your cells healthy, to give your cells the vitamins and minerals they need to make the energy. I mean, the energy in our cells is made in the mitochondria, and the ATP energy molecule needs magnesium. ATP plus MG is the molecule of energy. And the huge breakthrough I had just when I was writing my last book, Complete Guide to Mental Health, our brain mitochondria, in each neuron, there are 2 million mitochondria. In the heart, there are 5,000 mitochondria. I used to think the heart had the most mitochondria and the most magnesium, because magnesium drives the mitochondria to make energy. The brain has 2 million in each neuron. So all this dementia and Alzheimer's, etc., could it be that we just don't have enough magnesium? And the reason we don't have enough magnesium, people keep taking magnesium compounds that have the laxative effect, so they never take enough to get enough in their brain. And that's where we're working with a stabilized ion of magnesium where you can reach high enough levels to make a difference. And I'm being really adamant about this in this past while. I used to just sit back, yeah, people will find out, you know, they'll read this is my latest magnesium book. They'll read the book, they'll get the idea. But no, I think what Maha has done for me is make me realize people want answers and we have the answers. Ginny. Did I lose Ginny? Let me go to the database. I'm all by myself. Okay, so let me move on to customer questions and comments. So we've been getting lots of questions about the big push against vegetable seed oils. You've all heard it. What are they? Sunflower, safflower, soy, and canola. Canola is genetically engineered. It was the first genetically engineered grain. And Dr. Mercola pushes this quite a lot. Vegetable seed oils are an essential fat, but they're an omega-6 essential fat. Fish oil, algae oil, and flax oils are omega-3s. So the body has to balance the two. The omega-3s are necessary to make a strong, stable cell membrane. So they're crucial. If you get too much omega-6, you don't have a strong membrane. If you get too much omega-6, it causes inflammation. So, I mean, what Mercola says is that the root of harmful biochemical reactions are triggered by seed oils. Now, he's even saying that seed oils are worse than sugar. Now, I don't know if I'd go that far. There are a lot of bad things that we're doing in our diet. But he's saying that the dramatic increase in seed oil intake in recent decades is a key culprit behind the soaring rates of heart disease, cancer, age-related macular degeneration, diabetes, obesity, and dementia. So, I mean, I don't know how much more people need to know about seed oils. You can search it in your search engines and find out more, but maybe it's just experimenting with it. I've said this story many times. If I go and take an organic snack and it has seed oil in it and I forget to look at the label, it's like, oh, it's organic, it's okay. And then my finger starts swelling. I can't do this bending of my fingers without pain. Then I finally look at the label and say, oh yeah, I've been eating a seed oil. So what do you think, Ginny? Is that enough said about seed oils?
Yes, and just you said the most important thing, you're going to have to start to read the labels. Because you're surprised. It's interesting, people who are drinking almond oil and oat milk oil, almond milk and oat milk don't know that the basis of those drinks are sunflower oil and also rapeseed oil.
Canola.
They're whipping oil, you guys, for your quote unquote, a healthy creamer. Not cool. Mm-hmm. What about all the prepared salad dressings? All. What about powdered like cake mixes or brownie mix or something? All. Mm-hmm. You know, anything. Look at your breads. It's amazing. I'm surprised at how many breads and crackers and things have those oils in them. Now, is a little bit okay, but when you think about the bulk of what you're eating all day, you go to the store, you think you're doing something right, you make yourself a salad at the salad bar, and then you put a bunch of dressing on it, and you just, you know, added all that seed oil into your body. I think the way people usually consume food, they're not really thinking about, is there seed oil in my almond milk?
Yeah. Good point. And corn is GMO, soy is GMO, and these genetically modified organisms in these foods have been studied mostly in Europe and are not beneficial. And that's all there is. And if you look up, it's like 90% of the corn in America is genetically modified now.
Yeah. Wow.
Here's a story. I've probably told this before. When I was in New York, I was involved with an Indian community. They had moved up from Guyana at the northern top of South America. From India, Guyana, they came to Manhattan. Guyana had a policy of no ultra-processed food, no processed food. They used palm oil, a very nice saturated oil that wouldn't go rancid. Came to Manhattan, they said, I want these french fries, I want this. I was in their homes, and they were using sunflower oil and corn oil, and they were all getting very sick. Diabetes, heart attacks, blindness, amputations. It came fast because their bodies had were nowhere near adapted to these terrible foods. So that to me was a huge experiment.
Wow. Very cool. Yeah. You just have to really, it's like you said, it's getting in even deeper and paying more attention. But like you said, people want answers. So sometimes your answer is as simple as the food label. Right. I mean, that's where it starts, and they're not allowed to not disclose that. And they don't think it's bad, by the way.
Right.
It's for you.
And a lot of these products, you'll see like 20 items, and it's like incredible. Incredible. So we're moving on to helpful hacks.
Yes.
This is fun, Ginny. You'll like this, I think. Maybe I should watch myself on the monitor here to see. Okay. So here's a hack. In this mason jar, I'm going to put a couple of ounces of lemon juice. I'm not going to do it here. I'm not in my kitchen. A couple of ounces of lemon juice. Put in Zevia. Yes, I'm advertising Zevia. They're not paying me. So Zevia is interesting. It's just sweetened with stevia. It's carbonated, but you don't want to drink straight carbonated. So I cut it half and half with Pellegrino. And that is a very satisfying drink. I'm not a tea drinker, so I need something, other than something hot, because I'm too impatient to wait for it to cool down, so I'm always burning my tongue. So anyway, that's the hack today. Zevia, Pellegrino, and lemon juice. And Ginny, where are you? Okay.
Rachel, waiting for Rachel to put me back. There we are. Carolyn, a couple weeks ago, we talked about fasting. And we had one of our great customers go on a 15-day fast. And I had mentioned to him that we might talk about it tonight. Are we going to talk about that tonight, or are we going to talk about another time?
Yeah, I've got it all geared up for tonight.
Okay, very good. He was asking, so I just want to make sure. It's in the show, Russ. Hang in there. And he asked also, Carolyn, where he could do his naturopathic work. So I just wanted to answer that, Russ, it's Know Your Wellness. Know Your Wellness is the naturopathic college that Carolyn sits on the faculty. Know Your Wellness. And if you look them up online, knowyourwellness.org, you'll be able to see the coursework there. And you'll also see Carolyn in her adjunct professorship.
Right. Well, since you brought it up, I might as well jump to it. Rachel, if you can find Fasting with RNA Reset.
Okay, great.
So, I mean, this has come up before, Jeff. Michael Brown, our South African customer friend who does the intro music for the show, right, Ginny?
Yeah.
Michael Brown introduced the concept of RNA fasting a few years ago after a friend of his had a very good fasting experience using our formulas. So it got me interested at the time in doing three-day fasts where, as Jeff outlined, Jeff introduced the topic of hacks. It's Russ Bechtold, Bechtold. Sorry, Russ. So Russ, he's a certified nutrition counselor, and he got the idea to do, Ginny, it was a 21-day fast. And he calls it an RNA reset fast. I don't know if that's a copyright infringement. I don't know. But he just worked with water, our RNA reset minerals, and our vitamin supplements, and zero sugar liquids. But then as he described it more, he said, and that's actually why I brought up the Zevia drink, is that can satisfy you if you're on a fast. I do intermittent fasting a lot, where I don't eat until noon, and I'll just do water actually and psyllium seed. But if you're doing a 3-day fast, it's good to have something that makes you think you're eating. But Russ also said is if he felt weak or just felt he needed some food, he'd do our restructure, which is our protein powder. It doesn't have sugar in it. It's got stevia as a sweetener, and it's got, what is it? Low lactose and no something or other. It's very low in sugars. So it just, here I have it. Rice protein, pea protein, and whey, but zero lactose milk sugar. And Russ did a lot of tracking. He covered it like an experiment, you know, doing some blood tests and his ketones. What he was trying to achieve is a ketosis that threw him into autophagy. Autophagy is where the body starts chewing up the toxins and the breakdown products in the body. Because if some people, when I talk about intermittent fasting, or I tell people to take 6 hours between eating their meals, what happens is you're going to your liver stores of sugar, your glycogen liver stores, and you're eating those up. And when those are gone, then you're eating your fat up. So the body is always working. Whereas back in the day of everybody having hypoglycemia and we were eating meals every 2 hours, you'd never even got hungry. Mm. You just kept eating. Yeah. And, you know, to have that little sense of hunger, I think it's very good, because then you can reframe it. That's a Scott Adams word, reframe it, to say, oh, you know, I'm on a liver fast. I'm getting my glycogen stores. Oh, there goes my belly fat. So yeah, fasting is very helpful. Intermittent, a day a week, 3 days a month. What Russ said at the end of the information he sent us was he thinks he never has to do a 21-day fast again. Maybe he'll do 10 days. And he felt that this fast was the best that he'd ever done because he was giving himself the minerals to keep the detoxification going, to keep his energy going. So it was a wonderful insert into what we're doing, where, you know, one of our customers creates a program and then shares it with our audience. So, I mean, there's more to it. People can get in touch with Russ if they'd like to. Can they get in touch with Russ through our customer service, Jenny? Okay, Jenny has left the building for a second. So let me go back to, I was at the hacks and the advice. So let me pick up. I was going to talk about sugar next. I mean, last week we talked about sugar. And if you can find the New York Times article on sugar, it's titled, "How My Trip to Quit Sugar Quickly Became a Journey into Hell." So this just bugged me so much. I mean, it's a ridiculous waste of space. 8,000 words from a 35-year-old woman who tries to create humor out of her probable fatal addiction to sugar that will have her diagnosed with diabetes, or at the very least, pre-diabetes. And apparently she pitched the idea that she would attend a spa in Austria to learn how to quit her sugar addiction. So it was basically a shallow puff piece and evaded the real problems with a sugar addiction, such as diabetes. So at the end, she finally made the statement, confessed that she was probably eating for emotional reasons, which, you know, can be the case for a lot of people. What we've got to look at with sugar is that sugar addiction is serious. I mean, who was it? Linus Pauling. Or was it Abram Hoffer? Maybe it was Abram Hoffer, two big orthomolecular doctors. They said sugar addiction is, you know, kind of parallel to heroin addiction. When you put heroin and sugar in a rat cage, sugar liquid, heroin liquid, the rats will go to the sugar. You know, they're more addicted to sugar. So we've got to get straight on where we are with sugar, because it's everywhere. In all the vegetarian cookbooks, the first chapter is usually about desserts, because people say, oh, you can have all this fruit. Well, fructose, fruit sugar, is metabolized differently than sucrose and glucose. It uses up more magnesium to metabolize. It's only metabolized in the liver. It puts a stress on the liver, and the excess triglycerides that are created by this fruit sugar create a fatty liver. So this is high fructose corn syrup sweetened everything, where people think, well, it's just a fruit sugar, it's natural. It has caused a lot of weight gain, a lot of diabetes in our population. But what we have found when you take our formulas, the nutrients give you sufficient energy, give you what your cells need, and you're not craving sugar and coffee and alcohol or even cigarettes.
Right. Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
I think that some of that has to do with the zeta potential, Carolyn. I've been reading a lot of different things about it, and a stabilized ion of a mineral like ours with the magnesium or potassium or anything that's in our multi-mineral formula will cause a thing in the cells called zeta potential. And that is a frequency change that actually activates enzymes. And I think that that's part of what the body's getting when it has a frequency change, when it's bringing sugar in because of how quickly sugar is metabolized. What do you think of my little speculation there?
I don't know. I mean, Zeta Potential to me, I haven't really gotten into it enough. I just think that a stabilized ion is so active. It is so tiny. It just jumped into cells and gets to work. Maybe it shifts some sort of potential. But I just find it too difficult to try to explain Zeta Potential. So I've put it to the side.
Got it. Very good.
Yeah, we have somehow, you know, by the grace of God, gotten ourselves into a position where we have stabilized ions of all the minerals that the body requires. And we know they help people stay healthy and, you know, be healthy and happy as I am in my seventh decade. I'm in my seventh decade.
That's so right.
Yeah, we've got to stay healthy, avoid hospitalization. But I always say, get the testing done, you know, find out what the doctors know and don't know. Usually they'll just say, oh, you know, we don't know, but here, take these drugs. When they say, well, it's not this, it's not that, it's not the other thing, we don't know what it is, but take these drugs. Well, they're not treating any condition. They're just treating their guilt of not being able to help you. And they don't know that the drugs have side effects. You're going to be taking these drugs. Maybe they'll work because the placebo effect of the doctor gave me this, I suppose it'll work. But, you know, these are the folks that are starting to learn about, well, maybe it's something in my diet. Maybe I need good nutrients. You know, what we say over and over again. Now, I just have a sentence here. Unstable blood sugar levels fuel addictive cravings.
Yeah, right.
So think about that. You know, you'll take a bunch of sugar, your blood sugar goes up, and then the body has to bring it down with adrenaline or whatever. You get heart palpitations, the blood sugar drops, and then at the low blood sugar point, you're starving, you're craving, you want to grab more sugar to put your blood sugar back up, or you crave the drug that you just took. So unstable blood sugar levels fuel addictive cravings. So think about that. Think about, you know, drinking that coffee with sugar in the morning with a pastry. That's sugar. And then your blood sugar goes up and then it falls down. And then you're craving something else, up and down and up and down all day. We think, I mean, I have the same feeling. Oh, I've been so busy today. I've done so much. I deserve a treat. Now, thankfully, my treat is avocado, banana, cacao, coconut milk in a pudding. I have a avocado chocolate pudding. And I'll put some frozen cherries or frozen blueberries in it. So that's how I deal with my sugar cravings.
Very cool. Now, going back to the fasting topic, Super Dougie's here. And he had a question for us. So I'm going to read it to you, Carolyn. He said he's getting ready for a colonoscopy and he dreads it because when he has to fast, he gets sweaty and he just can hardly tolerate the whole situation. And he's wondering, can he use protein powder during a fast for a colonoscopy?
It's a good question. I would if I had those symptoms, because the protein powder is not going to, you know, flood the intestine so much. But what if you possibly can do, Super Dougie? This is what I would do. I guess I shouldn't say what someone should do. It would be me, you know, what is it? Practicing medicine without a license. What I do before colonoscopy is a really good coffee enema and then a clear water enema so that everything comes out. I think they used to do enemas before colonoscopy, but then people wouldn't put up with them. So they make they purge you with horrible things like polyethylene glycol now. It used to be a magnesium that they magnesium citrate, a lot of it that they use. And that would actually, you know, help your heart and make you feel better because you'd absorb some of the magnesium. So I would look at asking your doctor if you can use a magnesium purge, then do, and you don't even have to do a coffee enema. Why I say that is because the coffee will stimulate the bile ducts and the bile acid and allow a better purge of the intestines. So anyway, I hopefully that little bit of information is helpful for you, Dougie.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Carolyn. That polyethylene glycol or whatever you said sounds awful.
I know. I mean, they say, oh, it's neutral, but it's like something you use in a car, for Pete's sakes.
Right. It doesn't sound new. Water sounds neutral.
Yeah.
But that doesn't sound neutral. Okay. Again, so happy to have everybody here with us this evening. Welcome all of our ex-viewers that are joining us for the first time. We're going to be back every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern. And the show is available here. And you'll also see it posted on Dr. Dean. And she's at drcarolyndean.com here on X. So it'll be posted for you to review and also share with your friends. What would you like to talk about now, Carolyn?
Okay, Rachel, we'll go to major heart risk similar with two irritable bowel disease drugs in older adults.
Ooh.
So this is MedPage Today, February 10th, 2025. So they did this study. Now, see, get this right away. They're looking at two different drugs. Instead of testing a drug against a placebo, where the placebo often wins, they'll test two drugs against one another. It's like, which is the worst? Which is the better?
Right.
So for older adults with inflammatory bowel disease, there was no significant difference in the risks of major cardiovascular adverse events for those taking Stelara versus Entyvio. So both of these drugs are biologic injectables. So you inject them, you can't get them out. You know, it's in there until it does whatever it does. So I think it's a deceptive marketing because calling these drugs biologics makes you think you might be getting something natural. Yes. But what you're getting is a witch's brew. And yeah, listen to this, Jenny. A medical biologic is a drug or vaccine made from a living organism. It can be made from proteins, sugars, DNA, RNA, cells, or living tissue. And the source may be human, animal, or a microorganism, witch's brew. Medical biologics can have either, listen, DNA, RNA as their genetic material. So then they do their $1 billion drug trial. And what do they find in this study over a 3-year period? Major cardiovascular adverse events occurred in 10.3% of patients taking Stelara, 12.2% taking Entyvio, E-N-T-Y-V-I-O. So you'll notice this study is not measuring, as I said, drugs against placebo, but against each other. And what happened to first do no harm? 1 in 10 people are getting a major heart.
Right. Even. Reaction. Yeah.
One in 10. I mean, how is that first do no harm?
Right.
So, I mean, they're saying this is what they're treating Crohn's and ulcerative colitis patients with these.
Really? Oh, God.
What do we think is available for Crohn's and ulcerative colitis? Treating yeast overgrowth is a good start because you avoid sugar, gluten, and dairy. And we work with a natural antifungal probiotic and a picometer silver. I mean, there are things that are available.
Absolutely. But
seriously, 1 in 10 people. It was a 10% and a 12%. Now, what the study will write up, the one with the lesser amount of heart attacks, they'll say, they'll fudge the figures and say there was a certain percentage far less cardiovascular events in the first drug. So that's the better drug. And it's not until you read into the paper, you realize, well, still.
Neither one is great.
Yeah.
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 Wow. Wow.
And perhaps I'll end with this. AI is your new doctor.
Mm.
So 2 weeks ago, Ginny, you brought up the possibility of AI relieving the shortage of doctors. And I said, well, they would just be programmed to prescribe drugs and surgery. And lo and behold, in MedPage Today, they reported that there was a bill introduced in Congress that would allow AI to prescribe drugs, not to prescribe nutrients, not to get people on a good diet or put them on an exercise program, but to prescribe drugs. So this is the type of legislation that would be a big win for big pharma, but not for big people.
Yeah, not for Maha, not for us. We're going in the opposite direction. Here's something we can say. Write your congressman.
Yeah.
Find out if they are going to support this bill.
Right.
Tell them no. What is the natural? There are several lobbying groups, natural health groups, and we'll get them for you and share them with you next week. Mm-hmm. But you can take action on your own. You don't need the advocacy groups to tell you what to do. Write your congressman. Find out where the bill is. Do some research and learn about it, and then complain.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a letter with a stamp. You go to their website and go to the comments section and start, you know, sounding off about this and anything else you feel that you
That's
want.
That's right. That's exactly
my organic farm here in Maui. I mean, we need the grants to be able to feed the population, because Maui, 90% of our food comes from mainland. What happens when the barges fail? So that's my, I have a charitable foundation, parageniusfoundation.org. And we are trying to feed Maui healthy food.
Right.
So we have to be, you know, well, calling up, but I think, Ginny, we could just go to websites and start sending in emails.
Every representative you have in the federal government has emails. Every single one of them. And you can go to your state senator, your congressman, you can go to your local, you can go to your mayor, you can go anywhere you want to go and write those letters and tell people that you're not happy with the way that things are being governed. And this is what's happening in our country right now. And there is momentum behind it. So definitely be a part of what's going on in that regard, for sure, because this is how we're going to continue to change things. And in the meantime, tune in next week, and you'll want to learn more about Dr. Carolyn Dean. Rachel, if we have those slides, drcarolyndean.com is Carolyn's own website. You'll see her blogs on it, her reflections of her career. You can read her CV, which I think is 350,000 pages long, of all of her experience. And you can learn more about her, all the other books that she's written, the publications that you can participate in, all of our archives, they're all there. And then, of course, her product website, which we don't talk about too much, but we will let you know, rnareset.com is where you can find those stabilized ions of minerals that we love so much, that keep us all looking so healthy and vibrant and so very, very wonderful. And they feel good in your body. And as Carolyn said earlier, you should have an experience when you take a supplement. And when you take these, you do. You experience yourself differently. You feel the power in your body. Anything else you want to close with tonight, Carolyn?
Yes, maybe we should say, as we do most weeks, is the reason we don't name our products or talk too much about them is the FDA has been very adamant with our company and with a lot of other dietary supplement companies that we are not allowed to make health claims. We are not allowed to tell you that our products can help you. So you have to do your research all on your own, and your research is going to our websites and keeping in touch with us. And you can call our customer service. And again, we're not going to give you medical advice there, but just tell you how you could put together a program to get your cells healthy, which will get your tissues healthy, your organs healthy, your brain healthy, and avoid getting hospitalized as long as possible.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Well, thank you everybody for being with us again tonight. Thank you, Rachel, our producer. Thank you everybody behind the scenes who makes all of this go. And we'll be back with you next week on Dr. Carolyn Dean Live.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Become a member of drcarolyndean.com and get access to all her leading edge of creation information, as well as archives, webinars, and other valuable media resources. Join Dr. Dean and Ginny Almighty same time again next week.